Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
How many of you know that time flies? And they won't slow down, and that's why it's important for us to slow down. Moms and dads, make sure you slow down and take that time for your kids. As a dad of a college graduate, man, it goes quick. It goes quick. Young parents, take the time for your kids. All right, enough of the Kleenexes. Song talked about moms being the biggest fan. How many would say your mom is one of your biggest fans? I know that's true for me. I want every mom in the building to stand up this morning, okay? We want to recognize our moms. All the moms, please stand up right now. Let's give them a hand. Woo! Amen. Moms, we love you, we appreciate you, and thank you for all that you do for us. Open your Bibles this morning to the book of 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 16. 1 Kings 3:16. For some of you, this may be your first time with us today, or maybe it's your first time in church ever, or maybe first time in a long time. And we want you to know that we are so glad that you've joined us today. We're so happy you're with us. You are welcome here. Maybe you're here this morning because your mom wanted all the family to be in church, and so you really don't want to be here, but you came just to please mom, just to acquiesce her. And thank you for doing that. What a great gift to your mom today. But you know, our prayer is that as you're with us, you would experience something so meaningful, so different, so unique in your life that you'd say, you know, I want to come back, not for mom, but because for myself, because I've found something. And that's our prayer, that you experience God in such a real way. And we're so glad that you've joined us. Well, this morning, we're going to look at 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 16. And as we start reading this, you're going to notice that this is a little bit different Mother's Day text. It's a little unusual because it deals with two prostitutes, all right? When's the last time your Mother's Day text had prostitutes in it? You may not think it goes, but I think you'll catch on here. But in this record, in this scriptural account, we're going to see some principles of what it means to be a real mother. Let's begin reading in 1 Kings 3:16. It says, "Now two women who were prostitutes or harlots came to the king," which is King Solomon, "and they stood before him. One woman said, 'Oh my Lord, this woman and I dwell in the same house, and I gave birth while she was in the house. Then it happened the third day after I had given birth that this woman also gave birth, and we were together. No one was with us in the house except the two of us in the house.'" So there's no other witnesses. No one can tell what really happened, all right? And she's setting it up, and she says, "This woman's son died in the night because she lay on him. So she arose in the middle of the night and took my son from my side while your maidservant slept and laid him in her bosom and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I arose in the morning to nurse my son, there he was, dead. But when I examined him in the morning, indeed, he was not my son whom I had born. Then the other woman said, 'No, but the living one's my son, the dead one is your son.' The first woman said, 'No, the dead one is your son, the living one is my son.' Thus they spoke before the king." Now I want you to realize both of these women are claiming to be the mother of the living boy. They're both claiming to be the mom. And don't you wish one was a boy and one was a girl? Because that would have ended it really easy, you know. You could solve that one. This is in the days before there was DNA testing, all right? There was no hand printing or footprinting so you could compare and see which was the real child. King Solomon is in a bind. He has no way of evidential way to prove which boy belongs to who. Who's the dead son? Who's the living son? And the king said, The one says, this is my son who lives and your son is the dead one. The other one says, no, but your son's the dead one and my son's the living one. Then the king said, bring me a sword. So they brought a sword before the king. I wonder what was going through their minds when he said that. They brought a sword and the king said, divide the living child in two and give half to one and half to the other. Then the woman whose son was living spoke to the king, for she yearned with compassion for her son. And she said, oh my Lord, give her the living child and by no means kill him. But the other said, let him be neither mine nor yours, but divide him. So the king answered and said, give the first woman the living child and by no means kill him. She is his mother. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had rendered, and they feared God, for they saw the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice. I'd like you to take out your sermon notes this morning. This is also your homework for those who are in our weekly life groups. Your homework is on the inside. And this morning, we're going to talk about what it takes to be a real mother. We've entitled today's message, Will the Real Mother Please Stand Up? Will the real mom please stand up? And we're going to look at three principles that are found in this story that teach us about what it means to be a real mother, okay? Point number one, if you're taking notes today, the first point is a real mom is not a perfect mom. A real mom is not a perfect mom. Now, I'm not saying that, now some of you are saying, yeah, I knew that. We're not saying this to drag moms down. No, in fact, we're saying it to build them up, because here's the thing. No one should be treated with more tenderness and consideration than our moms. Our moms need to be treated with gentleness and with grace and with love, and they are not perfect. None of us are perfect. And so we need to treat our moms with that this respect and this dignity. Sometimes we're too hard on our moms. How many have ever been too hard on your mother? That's all the older ones. You know, there are some younger ones too. Yeah, I remember someone once says, man, my parents knew nothing when I was in high school, but when I, you know, I became like 22, they really got smart. You know, who really got smart in that little span afterwards? But, you know, sometimes we're very hard on our parents, very hard on mothers. Sometimes moms are too hard on themselves. Many times moms are way too hard on themselves. And this morning, moms, we don't want you to beat yourself up, okay? It's okay not to be perfect. You have permission not to be perfect. God doesn't expect you to be perfect. He knows that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You don't have to be perfect. Now, in this story, as we take a look at these two ladies were prostitutes. Their babies were evidently conceived under sinful circumstances. The question is, why did Solomon, king of Israel, spend any time, even worry about their predicament for two ladies who are walking outside of the will of God? Why was Solomon concerned about these two prostitutes? And the answer to that is because God was concerned about them. Now, here's the thing. As we look at them, Solomon, by addressing their situation, wasn't condoning their actions. He was still about moral purity. God in the church is about moral purity. The Apostle Paul said it's important for followers of Jesus Christ to be pure. This is what he wrote to the Corinthian Christians in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. He says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. He goes on to say what unrighteousness looks like. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals. You say, Craig, why are you talking about this? Because the community of believers, the church at large in America, has diminished God's standard for purity and for marriage. A January 2014 survey conducted by Christian Mingle, the dating website, revealed that 61% of the people on their website said that they are willing to have casual sex without being in love. 11% said they are saving sex until marriage. Do you realize that only a little over 1 out of 10 followers of Jesus Christ on the Christian Mingle site say, yeah, I'm going to follow God's plan for marriage and sexuality? We have a problem in our, not just our society, but in the church. We need to be a people that stand for purity. If you are involved in sexual immorality of any kind, I have 3 words for you. Cut it out. Stop it! Don't do it. You say, why? Because Paul said to the Corinthians, it's going to keep you out of heaven. He said, don't do it. He says the fornicators, those that are involved in sex before marriage, the adulterers, those who are having sex with someone outside of their marriage partner, the homosexuals, he says any form of immorality is going to keep you out of heaven. We need to have purity in our lives. I know some couples say, well, I want to make sure that this is going to work out, so we need to live together. It's found out, studies show that cohabitation before marriage does not help your marriage, it hurts it. It says that more than 8 out of 10 couples who live together will break up either before the wedding or afterwards in divorce. Couples who do not marry, couples who do marry after living together are 50% more likely to divorce than those who do not. Only 12% of couples who've begun their relationship with cohabitation end up with a marriage lasting 10 years or more. Did you catch that? Only 12% last 10 years or more. A Penn State study reports that even a month's cohabitation decreases the quality of a couple's relationship. Friends, as followers of Jesus Christ, and this is for young people, this is for singles, this is for any age, we need to have sexual purity in our life because it helps us to have a better relationship with our spouse and also with God. Boy, that's a sad, I thought it'd be a great place for an amen. Sex is great in marriage. How many like driving a car? I love driving a car. But it's good to keep the car in my lane, not go on the other side of the road, not to drive it through my neighbor's yard, not to drive it through their front window. I mean, a car is something great as long as you keep it in the boundaries it was intended. And friends, sex is great. I'm not saying sex is bad. For years in the church, we haven't talked about sex. We've made sex to be dirty and bad. No, sex is great. The writer of Hebrews says marriage is honorable and the marriage bed undefiled. That's a good thing. But when you take sex outside of the confines of marriage, it becomes a destructive vehicle, like a car that's not following the rules of the road. We need to be a people of purity. The church needs to stand for purity. But at the same time, the church is also a place of forgiveness and restoration. And that's what we see here. Solomon isn't judging these ladies. He's not coming down on them. He's willing to take the time, to take the energy, to put himself in a difficult position, a position that could really, he's a fairly new king, to put himself in a position that it could get him in trouble, that could really lower his credibility and respect. But he does it because God is concerned about them, and so he's ministering out of concern and love for not only these prostitutes, but for the little child, for this little boy to be with his true mother. And so as a church, we need to realize that God loves us. Here's the thing. If you have sin, sexual sin or any kind of sin, there is nothing that is so horrible, that's so bad that God can't forgive. There is nothing that God doesn't forgive. God forgives all sin. If you humble yourself and you turn from your sin and you repent, God will forgive you. And that's something all of us need to know. God loves us and he cares about us. He wants us to be in relationship with him. And these two women were not living for God's standards, but he still loved them. Look at this. They did not have to perform to earn God's love. None of us have to perform. You and I would be in deep weeds if we had to perform to earn God's love. We are saved by grace through faith. God doesn't love you because of what you do. God loves you because you're created in His image, and He loves you so much that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sin so that we don't have to die and spend eternity in hell. God cares about you. He cares about you. Moms, God cares about you. Don't get stuck in the performance trap. I know many moms, they look at their life. They look at the way their kids are behaving. They look at the way the household is running. They look at how clean the house is or whatever it is. And if it's not perfect, it's like they're just beating themselves up. And they walk under a cloud. They feel bad about themselves. Moms, you don't have to be perfect. No one is perfect. You might be in a situation where you say, I don't know what to do. I've got a situation with my kids. I don't know what with my husband, with whatever. I've got things going on. I don't know what to do in my life. How many have ever been at that point? You don't know what to do. God gives wisdom. This is what James said. James said in chapter 1, verse 5 to the Christians, he said, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. That's pretty simple. If you don't know what to do, ask God. And look at this, who gives liberally without reproach. It's not sparingly, it's not a little bit, but God gives abundantly. That word liberal, it means overflowing. It's like opening a water faucet and sticking a glass under it, and it just flows over. That's the kind of wisdom God gives. So if you're in a tough situation today, if you're in a difficult time in your life, if you're at a crossroads, you have confusion, you don't know what to do, you can stand on this promise in James saying, God, you said if I ask for wisdom, you would give it abundantly, liberally, it's overflowing, and look what it says, without reproach. That means He's not a respecter. He doesn't say, well, you know what, I size you up and you don't measure up. No, God doesn't look at that. If you ask, He gives it. Isn't that a great promise? If you need wisdom, ask God. A little bit further in James, chapter 4, verse 6, James says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You need to humble yourself and say, God, I don't know what to do. I'm at my wit's end. Help! All you have to do is humble yourself, ask for help. He'll give you grace. He will give you wisdom to walk through whatever life throws at you. Dads, kids, give grace to your mom. She deserves it. She deserves it. Why does she deserve it? Because who in your life has given you more grace than your mother? I mean, I think of my mom. Man, my mom has had so much grace on me. I don't think there's probably any person in my life who's had more grace on me than my own mom. And then, you know, moms deserve our respect and grace. Many times, it's so easy to nitpick. Don't nitpick. Love your mom. Okay, moms, look at everyone and say, you got to love me now. Pastor said so, okay? Turn to your family and say, you got to love me. Not because your mom says so, but because God wants you to love your mom. Moms, you need to lighten up on yourself. If things aren't perfect, that's okay. God's in control. He's going to work things out. You need to laugh a little bit. How many like to laugh? How many wish you could laugh more? I'm going to share with you some letters that kids wrote to God. I'm going to help you laugh a little bit this morning, okay? Here's some letters kids wrote to God. It says, Dear God, I read the Bible. What does begat mean? Nobody will tell me. Here's another one. Dear God, I went to this wedding and they kissed right in church. Is that okay? You bet it is, Neil. Yep. Little Neil wrote that. Joyce wrote this. Dear God, thank you for the baby brother, but what I prayed for was a puppy. Here's one by Bruce. It says, please send me a pony. I never asked for anything before. You can look it up. Nan wrote this. Dear God, I bet it's very hard for you to love everybody in the world. There's only 4 people in my family and I can't do it. And then little Eugene wrote this, "Dear God, I didn't think orange went with purple until I saw the sunset you made on Tuesday. That was cool." You know, kids say some of the funniest things. And sometimes, though, as we parent longer, we lose the fun. We need to create laughter and love. We need to slow down. Take time for a game night. Because you see, it's that love and that time together that makes up for being perfect. Don't try to have a perfect home. You can't have it. Real moms, real families, real people aren't perfect. But love covers a multitude of sins. That's the first lesson we realize from here, from this passage. All right, let's go on. Let's take a look at the second one. The second point about what it takes to be a real mother is that a real mom knows God has answers for her problems. A real mom knows that God has answers for her problems. Moms, don't look for stress-free motherhood. There is no such thing. There is no such thing. From the pains of giving birth to the empty nest to grandchildren and beyond, being a parent is stress. Say, well, why sign up for it? Because it's a great thing. There is so much joy in being a parent. But it is stressful. And so don't think there are not going to be any problems, because you will have problems. But here's the thing. God is willing to assist you in the problems you encounter. Mom, as you face a problem, Dad, as you face a problem, God is there to help you. God didn't give Solomon wisdom just so people around the palace could go ooh and ah and that kind of thing. He gave wisdom to Solomon to help the family, to help the moms, to help the little boy. God gave wisdom to help, and he will do that to you. God will help you. In Psalm 91, verse 15, it says, "He shall call upon me." This is God saying, "He shall call upon me. I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him." If you call upon God, he will hear, he will deliver, he will help you out of your trouble. That is a promise. Go to God for help. He's the first one you go to. Don't go to a self-help book. Don't go to someone else. Go to God first. He can help. God can provide the help, the wisdom, the strength, the comfort, encouragement for stepmoms, for adoptive moms, for moms with special needs circumstances. He can help moms that are going through the worst situation in their life. God wants to help you. Moses was at a place in his life where he didn't know what to do. He didn't know how to lead over 3 million children of Israel. And he asked God for help. And this is what God said to him, Exodus chapter 4, verse 12 and verse 15. God said to Moses, "Now go, therefore go, I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. I will be with your mouth and with his mouth and will teach you what you shall do." Moms, you can do that. You can say, "God, I don't know what to do here. I don't know what to say here." And God says he will help you. He'll show you what to do. There have been times as a parent, I've had a situation with one of my kids and I was speechless. I didn't know what to do. And I just took some time and I says, "God, help, I don't know what to do." And God downloaded supernatural revelation, supernatural knowledge, supernatural wisdom that helped in that situation. He's faithful. He will help you. When you have a problem, go to God. He can take you through that. And once was a mom, her little boy was afraid to go to bed at night. There was a big thunderstorm, kind of like what we had a couple days ago. And he was afraid and says, "Mommy, I don't want to go to bed." She says, "You got to go to bed. You got to sleep." And so, "Mommy, you sleep with me tonight." And she says, "Honey, I can't sleep with you." He says, "Why not?" And he says, "Well, because I have to sleep with Daddy." And there was just quiet as the little boy's processing. And then he says, "The big sissy." So she explained, "No, Daddy and I are one. God made us one flesh. And that's why I sleep with him, because God didn't intend mommies to sleep with their little boys or their little girls. And so she shared that with him. God gave her wisdom. God will give you wisdom. He will help you. He's concerned about your problem this morning. Do you realize he sees every tear that you've cried? As I was preparing for this today, I just felt God say there are a lot of people that are going to be here this morning that are going through tough times. You're going through difficult circumstances, and you just need to cry out to God. You just need to say, God, help me. I don't know what to do. He is waiting for you to call. When you call, he will answer. And I'm believing today that as you call upon God, God is going to do something, whether you feel like it, whether you see something or not. God is going to, there's going to be a shift in the heavens. There's going to be a shift in the supernatural of something you can't see. And God is going to begin to move on your behalf. Real moms know that God has answers to their problems. That's the second thing that we see in this story. Because that mom, she went to God. She went to the king's representative. She knew that was my only hope. The last point, let's take a look at the last point if you're taking notes this morning. The last thing we see about what it means to be a real mother is that a real mom sacrifices for what is best. A real mom sacrifices for what is best. The real mother in this story was willing to give up her son, to never have him again, just so that he could live. She would rather let someone else, a liar, someone who didn't care, but someone who was vindictive, she would rather have her raise her son than to see her son die. You know, there's a lot of times as a parent, you let things die in your life. There's a lot of times you sacrifice. There's a lot of times you let go. And as parents, you know, when you become a parent, you let go of free time. You become a parent, you let go of sleep. Those midnight feedings. And then those late night years as a teenager, you let go of sleep. You let go of energy. You know, a few years ago, our kids went to camp and no one was around the house, it was surprising how clean the house stayed. You see, when you have kids, there is a sacrifice. But here's the thing. You sacrifice for what is best. And real moms, real dads, ask what is best for our family? What's best for our home? What's best for my son? What's best for my daughter? And then they're willing to make that sacrifice because they know it will produce the results that God intends. It will yield godly fruit. And I just want you to look at your life today, moms, dads, and maybe God's been saying something to you about what you need to sacrifice. Maybe he's saying you need to turn off the TV. You need to shut off Facebook. You need to spend more time in prayer. You need to spend more time with your kids. You need to invest them. Maybe God is saying, I want you to sacrifice this time. You're devoting so much to this certain hobby you have because it's stealing from this important time with your family. Maybe God is saying, slow down. What is God saying to you today that you need to sacrifice? Maybe it's just an attitude you have. Maybe it's just a mindset, but what is God saying that all of us need to sacrifice that's for the best of our home? What is he saying? I want you to write it down and do it, because if you don't, someday you're going to turn around, you're going to look at this moment and say, I wish I would have done what God told me to do. Some of us, God is saying, I want you to talk to your kids more. And some of you, you haven't spoken to your kids in a long time. You don't know what to say to them. You know what? Just start by saying, how are you doing? And just begin to open communication. Take them out for ice cream. Take them out bowling. Begin to repair any relationships that are damaged. Some of you, maybe your kids are grown, they're out of the house, and you need to make a phone call today. You need to sacrifice your pride. You need to say, I was wrong. You see, the relationships that you have are really the only thing that you can take with you. We're not going to take our 401k. We're not going to take our careers. We're not going to take our hobbies to heaven. When you go to heaven, the golf clubs, they stay in the garage. They don't go in the casket with you. What do you need to sacrifice so that you can say, God, I want your best in my family? What does it take to be a real mom? Real moms aren't perfect. They live out of grace and out of love, not trying to just make their family do everything right. Real moms know that when I've got a problem, I go to God. And real moms sacrifice for what is best. You know, when you think about it, the sacrifice of a mom really reminds us of the sacrifice of God. Moms are so sacrificing, and God is the ultimate one who sacrifices because he gave his son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. And this morning, I just want to throw this out. Jesus not only died for your sins, but he died, Isaiah says, he came to carry our griefs and our sorrows.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us, casperfaith@gmail.com, or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.